Dear Heavenly Father, we are here today to exalt you, to lift up your name, and to give you praise for your wonderful work that you've given us in Jesus Christ, that we were dead and now we're alive, that we were blind and now we see, we were deaf and dumb and now we see you and we hear you, and we can come before the throne of grace with confidence because of Jesus Christ. And we want to celebrate the cross today, dear Lord. We want to celebrate the work of grace that you've done in these young people's lives. And we want to celebrate the fact that they have seen you and responded with joy to the new life that you offer them. And so, Lord, may you be exalted. We want you to receive all glory and honor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated now. So, good morning. I want to welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And yeah, every Sunday is like a little bit of an Easter Sunday as we celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection and what that means for each of us. And today is particularly an exciting day because not only is it the beginning of Holy Week, but it's a day that we get to celebrate welcoming in new brothers and sisters into the family of God. So what a joyful day it is. Baptism is something that all Christians celebrate across time and space. They always have. And it's a special rite of passage for those whose hearts have been transformed by the Holy Spirit. And baptism, it's commonly said, you probably recognize this, it's an outward expression of an inward experience. All right? Baptism is an outward expression of an inward experience. It's a sign pointing us to something that has happened deeper on a more profound level. Just because you go into the waters of baptism and come back, there's nothing magical about that, right? I always say I'm not going to go in with bald and come up with a full head of hair, right? So that doesn't save you. What saves you is the experience that your heart has been transformed and your life has been given over to your Maker, the one that created you and loves you. And so we celebrate that these young people were spiritually dead, but now they are alive. They've experienced something that every Christian has experienced in their hearts, which is an inner renewal. And in a moment, you're going to hear from each one of them, and they all have a different story to tell. And it's really not their story, but they're all part of God's bigger story, where the main character is Jesus. And so you're going to hear about how Jesus has come and rescued each one of them. And so you're going to hear in a moment from them. But before we do that, I just want to start with just the short explanation of what's behind this change that has taken place in these young people's lives. For those that are believers and Christians, this is a great reminder of our salvation. If you don't know Jesus, if you have not a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then let this be an invitation to you to know the good news, what we call the gospel. So I want to start and just basically look at one verse this morning from Romans 6:23. And it's a verse that basically summarizes the entire Bible in one sentence. Okay? So for the wages of sin... Oh, you got to take me off. Yeah, there you go. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the entire Bible in a sentence. And I just want to walk through each one of these ideas and each one of these words in a second. And we want to see how God's supernatural love and grace is at work. And so I want to begin with this concept of a wage. Who knows what a wage is? Could somebody tell me what a wage is? Right? Next slide there. Wage. Yeah, there we go. Wage. It's something that you work for. It's what you earn, right? So wages are something we earn for what we've done. It's the what we receive for the work we've done. So Jesus taught that our good works, all of our good works, are never going to be enough to save us. No matter how good we are, we could not be able to stand in God's presence. No amount of prayers, no amount of coming to church, no amount of making sacrifices, doing good things for the poor, lighting candles, none of that is going to save us. Wage is like karma. What is karma? You get what you deserve. What comes around goes around. Wages is like the law. You either fulfill it perfectly or you're a law breaker. Wage is getting what we deserve. And if God didn't act on our wage, what we deserved would be death and separation from God. And the reason that is what we deserve is because of the next word, which is sin. So, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus taught us that we all have evil in our hearts. We all have things we do or we say that is evil. Even things we don't do and don't say or don't think are part of our sin. And Jesus taught us that evil is inside each one of us, and it's the problem, in fact, that is in the whole world around us. Sin is something we all have in our hearts, and it's in our nature to be selfish and to think that we are the center of the universe. And Jesus called this sin. And Jesus taught us that sin is so deep within our hearts that we can never purify ourselves through doing good things, because even the motives behind our good things are evil. And so Jesus taught us that sin is in our heart and that it separates us from God. It's a barrier between us and God. And so we see in the next slide that our sin separates us because God is pure. He's holy. He's without an ounce of evil in him. And so our sin can separates us from a holy and pure God. And since everyone has sin in their heart, everyone experiences this separation from God. So sin separates us from God. And no striving on our part will give us a wage that we can earn our salvation. I like to use this illustration to describe the separation that sin creates in our life. Imagine you're like trying to swim across the Atlantic Ocean, right? Now, I would be the one that just barely made it past the coastline, but imagine Olympic swimmer, you know, a long distance marathon swimmer. They still couldn't make it across the Atlantic without drowning. And that's what our sin is, and that's what all of our good works and all of our religion, all of following our rules and laws and all the good things we do for other people, it will never be able to be enough to help us reach God. And so even our best efforts are not enough. And so that's how our sin separates us from God. And so living this life without a Savior, we have one destiny, and that's the next word, which is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. So death is what we deserve because of our behavior, because of our motives, because of our selfish way of viewing the world. It's the natural condition of our hearts. And everyone dies, right? That's a result of sin that is in this world. And death means separation, right? When our soul separates from the body. And death only entered the world after sin entered our hearts. So if a person stays in their sinful state and rejects God in this life while he's alive, that separation he experiences in this life will extend to eternity, as those who don't know God are going to be forever separated in hell. And so Jesus spoke more about hell, warning against it, than any other author in the Bible. So not only would we experience separation from God in this life, but also for eternity in the life to come. So that's the bad news. Our wages and sin are death. But, and that's the good news, but. There's always a but in the Bible. And the next slide you see around it is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And this is the most important word in the sentence because it tells us that everything that comes after us, after that, is good news. And it's contrasted with everything that we've just heard about. And what's the difference between a gift and a wage, because the next word we come across is a gift. What's the difference between a gift and a wage? You can't earn a gift. Yes. A gift is not earned by the person who receives it. Now contrast that with a wage, and a wage is something that we've earned. It's what we deserve. But a gift is something that was paid for by someone else. So all other religions teach you that you need to earn God's favor by doing something, right? Praying or meditating every day at this time or in this way. Going to some sort of religious ceremony, doing good things for others, making some sort of sacrifice. But Jesus taught us that it's impossible to earn this. It has to be a gift. And so God gives us this gift. We can't pay for it. We can only receive it. And so the next slide we come to is that this is a gift of God. It's a gift from God to us. So for the wages of sin is death, but the gift from God or of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So now all of us have sinned, but God has not. He's pure and without evil, and he wants to give us this gift, and it's a gift from God. I can't give you this gift. No amount of good things will allow you to get this gift. Being a member of a church doesn't give you this gift. Just getting in the water doesn't give you this gift. But God wants to give us this gift. And why do you think he wants to give you this gift? Because he loves you. Yeah. Yeah. Or what? I don't know what you said. Yeah. Because it's God and he loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. The gift from God is something that only he could do. He had to make a way to us. In our sinful state, we could have never reached God. We could have never found God. He had to come to us and he had to make a way to us. He had to act first. We were blind. We were dead in our sins, but he came and revived us and made us alive. And so this is the gift from God, and this is why we are saved by grace, an undeserved gift. So we could do nothing in our power or strength to save ourselves. It's a gift from God. And so what is this gift? It's eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. So you see how each one of these, a wage is contrasted with the gift. Sin is contracted with God, and death is contrasted with eternal life. So life, that's what we were given. We were dead. But now we are not just given life, but eternal life, a relationship that can begin with God in this life and goes on for eternity. It can never be taken away from us because we never earned it. So Jesus saw this separation and began to come towards us and solve the problem. And so what's the next, this gift from God of eternal life, where do we find it? Only in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that can connect us to God. No one can offer a gift unless he purchased it, right? And a gift is only something that someone else has paid for. So Jesus purchased this gift for us by paying for it on the cross. On the cross, he received our wages. He received our sin. He took the punishment that we deserved upon himself. He received our wages, and he received the death that we deserve. And so he suffered death in our place so we could have this gift. So he purchased our freedom. And that's what's so amazing about the cross, and that's why those who know how sinful they are, who look at the cross and begin to hear the gospel and hear this good news, begin to cry because they're so happy that the Lord has given them new life. And there's something that God made within our hearts to harmonize that when we hear these words, when we hear this message, our heart begins to sing because God made us for him. And so when we hear this good news, we know it's true. We know in our hearts that we are sinful, and we know that we need a Savior. And when we hear about what Jesus has done for us, our hearts burst alive with joy. And that's why there are so many tears today, because we're happy. The next slide with the box around it is the Lord. We can only receive this gift if we also receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our boss, our God. That's what Lord means. And we receive this gift as the Holy Spirit makes us aware of our sin. And we confess our sin. And we turn from our sin. We turn from our selfish living. And we trust in Christ as our Savior, placing all of our security, all of our hope, all of our life into Jesus' hands. And we have to do this as a step of faith and trust. And that's what these young people have done, and that's what we're celebrating. So Jesus said, whoever would follow me must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And that turning receiving God's love into our heart. And it means turning from sin, turning towards God instead of being a slave to our sins. So that's the gospel in a sentence. It's a summary, really, of the whole Bible in just one sentence. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God in Jesus Christ is eternal life in Christ our Lord. So today, we're celebrating exactly this, what the Lord has done in these young people's lives. He's rescued them from death and brought them to life. They've been transformed by the Holy Spirit. They are no longer slaves to sin, but they have freedom now in Christ. They are sons and daughters of the King, and we welcome them as new brothers and sisters into the family of God. Amen. Yeah. So, that's what boy baptism all points to, all right? It's a bit like a funeral and a marriage all at once. So it's a funeral when they go down into the water because they're saying goodbye to their old life, to their sinful nature, and they're raised up to new life as they live in a new covenant with God forever in eternal life. And so practice of going down into the water and coming back up is like dying and rising again, a symbol of the gospel. And we're not called to do that just one time, but it's a pattern for every day in our life. Every day we come before the Lord, we die to self and rise again to new life in Him as we take off our old self and put on our new self. And it's a daily pattern throughout our entire lives as we grow deeper and deeper in love with Christ and we become more and more holy and obedient in the way we live because the Holy Spirit is transforming us. And that's why we don't practice infant baptism, because we believe Scripture's quite clear that nobody can make this decision for you. In the Bible, repentance will always precede baptism. And since a baby can't repent of its sins, we believe that adult baptism is the best way to be faithful to Scripture. So, we're all accountable before God individually. We're all stand before Him one day and give account in our lives. And we are either placing our trust and our confidence in our good deeds and our work, or in what Christ has done for us. And so an important part of our tradition of baptizing here at ICF is that it's accompanied by a testimony. It's not just some empty ritual that we do and dunk them and have a party, but we want to attach this to a testimony of how the Lord has worked in their life. And so this way, baptism is flooded with meaning, and it's not just a religious activity. So let me pray for these kids, and then we're going to hear from Keita first, and I'll call you up after we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for the way that you have solved our deepest need. Our deepest need is not a education or health and security or wealth and prosperity. It's not poverty. Our greatest need, dear Lord, is relationship with you, that you have removed the barrier of sin and death that separates us. And Lord, because of that, everything else in this life has a meaning and a purpose as we are already beginning to experience eternity in this life, as heaven has entered into our hearts and we begin to live into this new reality and we begin to bring heaven into this earth as you want to renew and redeem this creation. And you have chosen us to be your agents of that. And so we celebrate that today. And Lord, as they share their testimonies, I pray that you would fill each one of them with your Holy Spirit, that the words they speak would speak to the hearts of your people and your children as you call others unto yourself this morning. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.